Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at Above Phone and their whole range of, privacy-focused technology.
Right.
We've gone through the website, looked at the products, the specs, FAQs, even what customers are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal really is pretty simple, to figure out how Above Phone is trying to, well, put you back in the driver's seat with your own data and digital life.
Yeah, and what jumps out right away, I think, is that core message they have. It's this pushback against feeling boxed in by big tech.
Okay.
They're basically saying, take your power back. And, that seems to hit home for a lot of folks who are getting more worried about, how much they're being tracked online.
Right.
So Above Phone is kind of positioning itself as a way out, a way to shrink that digital footprint, get some control back.
Absolutely. That whole idea of minimizing ties to the big tech companies, it's definitely appealing. So, okay, let's dive into their main product first, the Above Phone itself. What's the sort of core philosophy behind this device?
Well, fundamentally, it's all about building privacy and freedom right into the phone from the start.
Okay.
They're aiming to really reduce those built-in connections to, the usual big tech ecosystems, and importantly, give you, the user, way more direct control over your apps and what they're allowed to do, what permissions they have.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a point of saying it's ready to go, like right out of the box.
That's good.
Yeah. And the fact they offer free support guides, even for calls and videos, suggests they're really trying to make this usable for, maybe not just the super techie crowd.
And it looks like there's flexibility in how you use it, too. Like it could be your main phone.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a secondary one.
Exactly. They mentioned that it could replace your current phone, or you could, keep it separate just for things you want to keep more private. That flexibility probably helps people actually consider making the switch.
Makes sense. Now, the big question always with these alternative phones is apps. What about apps?
Yeah. Always the sticking point. Mm-hmm. So they tackle that head on. They talk about downloading apps directly, maybe from open source places.
Okay, like F-Droid or something similar.
Possibly, yeah. The places where the code is open, more transparent, theoretically more secure. But crucially, they also allow access to popular app stores.
Ah, right.
And here's the interesting bit. They talk about isolating big tech apps, putting them in a sandbox.
A sandbox. What does that actually mean in practice?
It's like creating a walled-off area on your phone specifically for those apps, maybe your social media or certain utilities you feel you still need.
Okay.
And this sandbox stops those apps from, snooping on your other data, your contacts, seeing what else you're doing on the phone.
Gotcha. So it limits their reach.
Precisely. It's a kind of compromise, really, for people who, need Facebook or Instagram but don't want it having the run of their entire device. It seems pretty smart.
Okay, yeah, that sandboxing idea, that sounds like a practical way to handle things for people not quite ready to ditch everything familiar.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the phones themselves. They have a few models. Pixel 9 Pro XL seems to be the top one.
Yeah, that's positioned as their ultimate flagship. Big display, they say all-day battery, their best camera tech, and they mention up to a terabyte of storage, max RAM, cutting-edge processor. So, yeah, sounds like they're aiming for top-tier performance there.
Okay. And then there's a regular Pixel 9. Still sounds pretty capable.
Oh, yeah. The Pixel 9 seems to focus more on being comfortable to hold, but still packs a punch with a fast processor, the fourth-gen Tensor chip, and a good HD camera.
Gotcha. Any specific specs jump out?
Well, yeah, they list a 6.3-inch OLED screen, 120Hz refresh rate, which is nice and smooth.
Right.
Storages is 128 or 256 gigs. It uses their Tensor G4 chip, that's Google's own silicon, and IP68 water resistance, which is pretty standard for flagships now.
And updates. That's always important.
Good point. Updates guaranteed until August 2031. That's quite a long time.
Wow, yeah.
Cameras are 50 megapixel main, 48 ultra wide, 10.5 front, and the price they list is $1099, so definitely premium.
Okay. Then stepping down a bit, we have the Pixel 7, price lower, so what are the trade-offs?
Right, the Pixel 7, they position it as high-quality mid-range, turbocharging, still powerful.
Okay.
Specs-wise, still a 6.3-inch screen, but AMOLED and 90Hz refresh rate. So still smooth, just not quite the 120Hz.
Makes sense.
Storage options are the same, 128 or 256. Processor is the Tensor G2, so the previous generation chip. Still has IP68 water resistance.
And updates for that one.
Updates until October 2027. Cameras are 50 megapixel main, 12 ultra-wide, and 10.8 front. Price is $799. So yeah, a slight dip in screen smoothness, processor generation, update lifespan, but still seems very solid.
And the last one is the Pixel 6. That's their entry-level option. What's the pitch there?
Yeah, Pixel 6, it seems aimed at providing, you know, good camera performance and reliable everyday use at a lower price point. Screen is a bit smaller, 6.0-inch AMOLED, also 90 hertz, same storage options. Processor is the original Tensor G1 chip.
Okay.
Still got the IP68 rating. Updates run until October 2026. Cameras are 50 main, 12 ultra-wide, and 8 front. And the starting price is $550. So definitely the most accessible way into their ecosystem.
Okay, so that covers the different models. But across all these phones, what are the common threads, the key features that make them above phones?
Good question. They all really push this secure and private OS. They talk about multiple layers of protection, all designed to, you know, minimize tracking from the big guys.
Right.
They also stress that the phones work with any service, your existing number, your current cell plan, even those internet phone numbers. So flexibility there.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, they talk about easy migration. They actually offer a free support call to help you move your data over.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that focus on making the switch less painful, that seems really key if I want people to actually, you know, take the plunge.
Definitely. Okay, so that's the phones. Let's shift gears and talk about laptops, the above book series. What's the driving idea behind these?
Well, it's pretty much extending that same privacy focus from the phone to your main computer.
Makes sense.
All their laptops run something called Above OS, which they say is based on Linux.
Ah, Linux. Okay, so that's different from the usual Windows or Mac.
Exactly. Linux is, you know, open source, known for being customizable, and generally pretty secure.
Mm.
But yeah, the software available is different. The main push here is data protection and using open source software, an alternative for people prioritizing privacy on their laptop.
Gotcha. And like the phones, they have a few different models here too. Starts with the Aluminum 6. Sounds premium.
It does. It's their top-end 2-in-1 convertible. Intel Core i7 processor, options for 16 or 32 gigs of RAM. Has a 14-inch FHD Plus touchscreen. They mentioned reduced blue light, which is nice.
Yeah.
Got Iris Edge graphics, Wi-Fi 6, even a built-in stylus. So yeah, seems aimed at productivity, versatility. Price starts at $1,599.
Okay. Then there's a Carbon model.
Right.
Also at that higher price point. What's different about it?
The Carbon is described as ultra premium, secure, and really lightweight. Also has an i7, 16 gigs of RAM, 14-inch full HD screen.
It's a portability focus.
Seems like it, yeah. They specifically mention long battery life. Specs list an 11th gen i7 and SSD options from 500 gigs up to a massive 4 terabytes.
Nice.
So yeah, aiming for mobile pros who need security and performance without the weight.
And the Aluminum 5, where does that fit?
Another 14-inch 2-in-1, also i7, 16 gigs RAM.
Yeah.
They talk about a vibrant touchscreen, pen included, long battery, and interestingly, a rugged build.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe for people who are tougher on their gear, it runs a 10th gen i7, same big SSD options as the Carbon, priced at $1,299.
All right, and then there's the starter model. For someone on tighter budget.
Exactly. Positioned as a powerful 14-inch business laptop, but more affordable. It has an i5 processor, still 16 gigs of RAM, SSD storage. They still emphasize security, durability, portability. Uses a 10th gen i5, but still offers those huge SSD options up to 4 TB. Starts at $799. So yeah, solid entry point for a privacy-focused laptop.
Okay, so again, across these different laptops, what are the common features that tie into that privacy angle? What makes them above books?
Well, obviously, they all run above OS. They call it lightweight, efficient, easy one-click updates, trying to make Linux maintenance simpler.
Right, that can be a hurdle sometimes.
Definitely. They also highlight reliable hardware, some ambition military-grade durability, good connectivity, USB-C hubs for expansion, and that live support, again, email, chat, guides, remote help, seems like a big selling point for them.
Mm-hmm.
They also include a software store. That's important. Makes installing programs easier than using the command line, which can scare people off Linux.
Yeah, for sure.
Built-in firewall is standard option for their above VPN. Comes with an Office suite that's compatible with Microsoft Office files, which is practical.
Yep.
And yeah, built-in camera and mic, standard stuff for laptops now.
But they are upfront about limitations,
right?
Particularly with software.
Yes, very important. They clearly state these won't run software that only exists for Windows or Mac OS.
Like Adobe Creative Suite or high-end games.
Exactly. Things like that won't work natively. But they do point out, you know, web browsing is totally fine. And a lot of apps have Linux versions or web versions anyway.
Gotcha. Okay, moving on. They also have a tablet, the Above tablet.
Mm-hmm.
How does this fit into the picture?
It seems like a logical extension, really, bringing that same secure OS and privacy focus from the phones to a bigger screen.
Right.
They suggest it's good as maybe a shared family device or for media, blending tablet convenience with data safety. It's got an 11-inch display, starts at $799. Basically, if you like the phone's philosophy and want a bigger screen sometimes, this is their answer.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I've covered the hardware phones, laptops, tablet. Now, what about their software offering, the Above Suite? What's the idea there?
Above Suite is pitched as their all-in-one solution to replace your reliance on big tech services. Think private, decentralized alternatives for everyday things.
And it's a subscription.
Yeah, $100 a year currently. It works best with their devices, obviously, but they say you can use it on other devices too. The goal is a package deal for private communication and utilities.
So what exactly is in the suite for that $100 a year?
It's actually quite a lot. There's Above VPN, standard VPN stuff, encrypting your traffic.
Okay.
A private calendar integrates with their email. Encrypted chats, end-to-end encryption for text, voice, video. An internet phone service gives you a private number, works internationally, no SIM needed.
Interesting.
Your own email service at above.im works on any device, something called Above Share for temporary private file sharing, private video conferencing, and even a private search engine pulls results from other engines but strips out the tracking and ads.
Wow. Okay. That is pretty comprehensive. Definitely covers a lot of the common big tech services.
Yeah, it seems designed to be a near-complete replacement if you're really serious about moving away from mainstream platforms.
Now, speaking of unique offerings, let's talk about the data sim. This sounds different. What's the concept?
The data sim is quite novel. It's about giving you cellular data without a traditional phone number attached.
Just data. No calls, no texts.
Exactly. It's an eSIM, so it's digital, activated remotely. The main benefit is that internet-only connection. By removing the phone number, you remove a major way carriers, and potentially others can track you via calls and texts.
I see.
They also stress it's anonymous. You don't give personal info to the carrier to activate it. Minimal interaction there.
So when would someone actually use this? What's the use case?
They suggest a few things. Maybe as a backup data source if your home internet goes down. Or, importantly, for travel, using it abroad for data without needing local SIMs that often require registration and personal details.
Right. That makes sense for privacy while traveling.
Yeah. And since it works with any unlocked phone, Android or iPhone, it could just be a secondary, more private internet connection for anyone. Pairs well with their other privacy tools, too.
And where does it work? Is it widely available? What are the plans like?
Availability seems pretty good. U.S., Canada, Mexico, U.K., a lot of Europe, Australia, New Zealand. They have a full list.
Okay.
They offer prepaid plans and monthly subscriptions, different refund rules for each. Prepaid needs activation within a year. Data lasts 180 days once activated. They say no data throttling on prepaid, though the unlimited monthly might slow down after 50 gigabit.
Gotcha. Now, something's always, always critical, especially when you're asking people to switch to something different.
Right.
Support. What kind of help do they offer?
Yeah. Absolutely crucial. And they seem to know it. They talk up their support quite a bit, call it best in class, emphasize real people.
Not chatbots.
Exactly. And with a phone, laptop, or tablet purchase, you get a free 45-minute support call, specifically to help with setup and migration.
That's a nice touch.
It is. They also have email and chat support during business hours, central time, monthly webinars for more advanced stuff, and free video courses and guides with each device. So seems like a pretty comprehensive support structure, really aimed at easing that transition.
Okay, we've covered the tech, the services, the support. What about the people actually using this stuff?
Yeah.
You mentioned looking at testimonials. What are the main themes coming through from customers?
Yeah, reading through those, a few things definitely stand out. Unsurprisingly, that focus on privacy and decentralization, moving away from single points of control, that comes up again and again as a key benefit people really appreciate.
Right.
There's also a lot of positive noise about customer support, people saying they're friendly, quick to respond, and really helpful, especially with that tricky data migration process.
That's good to hear, because migration can be a nightmare.
Tell me about it. Another thing is ease of use. Even people who say they aren't super techie seem to find it manageable, mentioning the tutorials and clear instructions.
So it sounds like people feel like they're actually getting that control they were promised.
That seems to be the core feeling, yeah. People talk about controlling their apps, their data, feeling, you know, peace of mind, feeling more empowered, less like they're just being passively tracked.
Any specifics mentioned?
Hmm.
Like specific software?
Yeah. Some mentioned the Graphene OS on the phones specifically. That's a well-regarded, hardened Android OS. And the Aurora Store gets mentioned as a good way to access needed apps, perhaps those not in the main open source repositories.
Okay.
And for many, it's clearly framed as a conscious decision to step away from Google and Apple's tracking. They also seem to really value the bundled tools in the above suite.
All right. So let's try and boil this down for you, the listener. What are the key takeaways here? What should you understand about above phone?
I think the main thing is that Above Phone offers this whole ecosystem, hardware and software, designed specifically to give you more privacy and more control over your data.
It's not just about like blocking ads then.
No, it's more fundamental. It's about changing how your tech interacts with those big tech companies. And you have choices. You could go all in, replace everything, or just use bits like a phone or the data sim as a secondary secure option.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem very focused on making it usable with that strong support system to back it up. So at the end of the day, it comes down to how much you value that privacy and control over different parts of your digital life, your calls, your browsing, your files, and whether what Above offers lines up with what you're looking for.
Right. So sum it up. Above Phone's mission really is about empowerment through privacy-first tech.
Mm-hmm.
We've built this range, phones, laptops, the tablet, that unique data sim, the software suite, all pointing towards that goal, giving you the tools.
Which leads us nicely to a final thought, something for you to maybe chew on. In this world where we're so, so reliant on connected technology, how much do you personally value truly owning your digital experience, owning the data you generate every single day?
Yeah.
And what steps, if any, might you actually consider taking to, you know, reclaim some of that control?